North Carolina singer-songwriter Jonathan Bird is back on tour in Ontario. He makes a Guelph stop with Elliot Bronson for a Folk Roots Radio-hosted show at Silence in Guelph on March the 20th. A son of a preacher man and a Gulf War veteran, Jonathan Bird has received many accolades for the quality of his songwriting, including being named a New Folk Award winner at the famed Kerrville Folk Festival in 2003. A gregarious and affable road warrior, his shows resemble something between a revival meeting and musical theatre, bringing together great songs, fine musicianship, and some wonderful Southern storytelling. We caught up with Jonathan at home in North Carolina. But before we get there, this is Jonathan Bird with the Sentimentals and a live version of If I Was an Oak Tree. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
I was an oak tree. It took 1,000 years to grow. I've seen kingdoms come and go. I've seen the losers turn to lords and back again. I held the rebels when they hung them from my limb. When men of fortune cast their futures on the sea, it's when they came for me. I was a slave ship under the standard of the cross. A hallelujah holocaust. And half were dead before we reached the other shore. And the captain never saw the coming storm that swept around the Cape and took us by surprise. And only 8 survived. I was a campfire, a pile of driftwood in the sand, the only comfort in this land. And 8 hungry sailors roasted acorns that they'd found, left me burning as they stumbled toward the sound of a church bell ringing out above the ocean's wind. And I was born again. I'm an oak tree out along the wild Cape Fear. There is talk of freedom here. Where is the kingdom that was here before I came? Where have the people gone who only left their name? A revolution's just a circle after all, and every kingdom falls. Now I'm an oak tree. If it takes 1,000 years to grow, I'll see kingdoms come and go. I'll see kingdoms come and go.
That was Jonathan Bird with a live version of I Was an Oak Tree. And it's my great pleasure to welcome to Folk Roots Radio today, Jonathan Bird at home in North Carolina. How are you doing today, Jonathan?
Good. Thanks, Jan.
What I'd like to do is start off and talk about how you got into music. Because when you read your bio and you come to your shows and you hear all of the wonderful stories you like to use, you realize that you had an incredibly interesting life. And I always love to find out how people actually got into music and why they decided to make it a career. So let's dial the clock way back and tell us a little bit about how things started off and when you realized that, you know, music might be something that would become a huge focus in your life.
Yeah, music was always a part of my life. I grew up in the Baptist church. My mother played piano for the church, and my father was a preacher. And my brother played guitar and listened to music. One of my uncles played blues. Another one of my uncles played bluegrass. My mother's sisters, there were three sisters, and 4, including my mother, and they all sang harmonies together. they put on a record to sing harmonies with each other. So I just grew up in music and surrounded by it, and I don't really remember when I started playing. I remember when I started playing piano, I was maybe 7 or 8, and our brother's guitar was always around. So when I left high school, I joined the Navy, I took my guitar with me, and I just kind of bummed around life, just figuring life out after high school, and then decided I'd like to make music for a living. And I ran into folk music, sort of specifically this old-time string band music. And there's a lot of fiddle playing, and there'll be sort of a smaller percentage of songs. But those songs are very stripped down, very simple. There's not really usually a chorus in the modern sense of the word or a bridge. Something about that breakdown really encouraged me as a songwriter to try to put some songs into that catalog. And when I did that, when I started writing those kinds of songs, there were a couple of friends of mine who just said, you know, you can make money doing this, and you can do this without a band. You can just go around with your guitar and play songs. And so I had a couple of people help me get my feet wet, booking little festivals, and then it's gone on from there. It's been great.
Now, you got involved at the wonderful Kerrville Folk Festival because you actually ended up, I think you went maybe once or twice before you actually were a New Folk winner there in 2003. And it is a wonderful festival. I'm going to get you to talk about that just now because I know you still go back there. Was that the time when you realized that you have a gift for songwriting?
Well, I was writing songs. In fact, I'd written songs. I remember writing songs when I was very young, maybe 10 years old, writing songs. I didn't write them down. I didn't keep them, but I remember just making up songs and wanting to play them for someone, my mother, whoever, play her song. But I didn't really think of myself as a songwriter because I didn't have a context. We didn't listen to sort of what I think of as the northern scene. Bob Dylan and Pete Seeger and Joan Baez and this whole like northern folk scene that happened. That people talk about is America's folk scene, but really in the South and within my culture, I didn't get any of that. So I didn't have a context for what a songwriter was. Like nobody that I knew talked about who wrote the songs that Elvis sang or who wrote the songs that Frank Sinatra sang. They were just songs. So when I was writing songs, but I wasn't writing them with that context in mind. When I went to the Kerrville Folk Festival, it really is a songwriting folk festival. I knew a couple people who had told me to come, that I needed to come, that would mean a lot to me. I didn't understand why until I got there, that it was really a songwriting festival and not a folk festival that I knew in the sense there'd be cloggers and there'd be bluegrass bands and that kind of thing. It's not really that kind of a festival. It's really a songwriting festival. And the lineage there is Townes Van Zandt, Guy Clark, and Lyle Lovett, and all these great Texas writers all the way back to Buddy Holly. It really changed the way I thought about songwriting and the kind of songs that I wrote. So the difference between my first record, it's called Wildflowers, and it's all very sort of bluegrass and old-time and old-school hillbilly country-based. And then my next record, which is called The Waitress, all of a sudden you hear this, borrowing John Prine and more of these sort of storytelling kind of folk songs.
Now, I get the impression that songwriting comes very easy to you, having, you know, spent time following you on Facebook and reading your website at jonathanbird.com. Writing seems to come very naturally for you, but do you find it very easy to write songs?
No, it's terrible. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
I have trouble believing that.
Great having written, and I have this, it's just an urge. It's like I just get hungry and I have to eat. It feels like that. I have to write something. And I did it when I was younger, and like I said, I didn't necessarily show it to anyone or keep track of it, but I needed to manifest things. This is a good way for me to do it. I don't know. It's just unavoidable for me, but it's not easy. It's never easy. And in fact, I think when you, if you get serious and you sort of apply yourself to your craft as a writer, I think everybody has a lot of personal experience to draw from, but you run out of that, and by that time you're sort of committed to the idea of being a writer. I think that's the way it felt for me. So then you have to really work. I had to go. I'll go to a bookstore and I'll look at the titles of books, not even pick them up, just look at the titles and see if something like that inspires me, or I borrow a song from Bob Dylan and change the words and change the melody and cut the phrases up and mix them up, or take a newspaper article and cut the phrases up and mix them, anything, whatever gets the fire burning. I just have to get up in the morning, and I get up at 4 a.m. and I'll write 2.5 hours, and then my family wakes up and eats breakfast. So yeah, I work at it. It's not easy, but it's fun. I love it.
I'd like to take a break, and we're going to play a couple of songs during this interview that are with the band you'll be bringing to Guelph. That is the Pickup Cowboys. We'll talk a little bit about the live experience a little later, but I'd like to play the song just now, Do You Dream? Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Oh, yes. I met this guy, Matt Faulkner. Matt Faulkner is an itinerant handyman. He lives somewhere in between Montana and Mexico, depending on the weather. He drives an old truck. And he's a good carpenter and has a lot of skills, a lot of outdoor skills. And I wouldn't call him homeless at all. The earth is his home. And he's a great songwriter. He's very shy about it. He doesn't play songs. He doesn't really like to get on stage by himself and play his songs. He doesn't have a record or anything. But I heard him around a campfire at the Kerrville Folk Festival, 2002 and 2003. He fell in love with his writing. And we do a couple of his songs with Pickup Cowboys. In fact, I wrote a song called Pickup Cowboy about Matt, and that's what we named our band after. This sort of traveling, guy. He's such an authentic person. And it's really rare when someone's playing you a song and they're not trying to sort of win you over in some way. He just is who he is.
You know, that is a wonderful story. I'm deliberately not going to play Pickup Cowboy just now because I want to get people to listen to the rest of this interview to hear it. But we're going to play a live version of the song, Do You Dream? You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
This is for y'all. This is another Matt Faulkner song. What do you see? What do to make it happen? I caught another one. I'll chase one down for you. We're on another ride, a carnival for a few friends. See things like they should be, and stand up on our could be, and dream, dream. What it was like being a child, not thinking about the hard things, just wide open wild, playing night games in the neighborhood, and playing like grown-ups should, and dreaming like there's no way you could these days. I caught another one, I'll chase one down for you. We're on another ride, a carnival for a few friends. I see things like they should be, stand up on our could be, a dream, dream. the music and cope with the crowd. Stand out somewhere and look at the clouds. The fact of the matter, fair and square, straightforward and honest. You got to dream like you care. No fair to the Midland, my fair weathered friend. Don't fall between two stools. You're the friend of a friend, falling head over heels like I did for you. Right over backwards and into the truth. Well, I caught another one, I'll chase one down for you. Well, we're on another ride, a carnival for a few friends to see things like they should be, stand up on our could be and dream dreams. Do you see? What do you do to make it happen? Do you dream? Do your dreams come true? What do you see? What do you do to make it happen? Johnny Wakin on the hardware. Paul Ford on the cello. Thank you so much.
That was Jonathan Bird with Do You Dream, a live version of the song that I know he will be playing when he's on tour in Ontario during March. He will be in Guelph on Friday, March the 20th for a show with Elliot Bronson. It promises to be a fabulous night. Check out folkrootsradio.com and our Facebook page for all the details. Jonathan, that was great to be able to play that today. And you know what I love about your songs, and particularly the live experience, is the way that you weave the stories into the songs. Before you play the song, there's a bit of a story. And after you play the song, there's a bit of the story. That makes it very natural for you, I think, as a performer, to be able to engage with the audience, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess it makes me feel comfortable to sort of live in the world of the song. The song is really what I care about, so.
One of the things that's interesting when I was reading your bio and everywhere you'd been was it seemed very apparent that you enjoy getting out and engaging with people. We talked before the song that we just played about songwriting itself, but my sense is that you like getting out there, meeting new people, and you feed off that experience. Is that a reasonable thing to say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the CD table after the show is the most incredible thing. And I'm not really, I don't have a ton of social energy. I think and a lot of artists are like this, where you, at some point you have to turn the world off so you can create things and get your own head together. But I do love going to the CD table. It's my favorite part of the whole night. Just when I'm worn out, I think I can't take anymore. But people just come and they tell me their stories, really, is what happens. It turns around and people come to me and they tell me things that happened in their lives. How my music got them through a bad day or through a divorce, or they named their kid after one of my songs. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that because I mentioned at the start of this interview, I was listening to some of your music that's recorded live. I now have, I think, 3 albums that you have. If you're listening, check out Jonathan Bird on Bandcamp because there are, I think, at least 3 albums that Jonathan has recorded at shows that he's done. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of them in a few moments. But I love the fact that as well as your studio albums, and I think there is 8 of those, and I think there's another one on the way, you also make live albums available of some of your shows. And I think that's a really great way of not just hearing the songs, but hearing how they sound in that live environment.
Yeah, these days, really, why not? It's so easy. And people record a show sometimes, and it's happening more and more recently, and I get a copy of it. Sounds great. Just put it out there so people can hear it.
Well, certainly from the point of view of anyone who's thinking of coming to a show, and obviously if Jonathan Bird is coming to your town, I certainly encourage people definitely check you out because it is an amazing live experience. Let's talk a little bit about your recorded music. I mentioned 8 albums, I think, since 2002, is that right? 2001.
2001, that was my first record, to Wildflowers, Waitress, See in the Sky. This is the music that, the record I made with Diana Jones, the duo that's out of print, The Law and the Lonesome, Cackalack, You Cannot Run the Radio, and now Mother Tongue, which is the import from Denmark. That's 9.
So the Mother Tongue, now that's the new one, because the You Can't Outrun the Radio, I think, came out late in 2014. Tell us a little bit about the Mother Tongue album.
The Mother Tongue record is a record that I made in Denmark with a Danish backing band called The Sentimentals. I met MC, Mads Christensen, he calls himself MC. He's from a little town called Prostu in Denmark, south of Copenhagen. He's going to have a trio together. The other two guys live in Copenhagen. He came to Memphis, Tennessee, when I first met him, but maybe 4 or 5 years ago, at a conference called the Folk Alliance Conference. And he came over specifically looking for songwriters to come to Denmark to tour. The Sentimentals are a great band, and we hit it off. We travel well together. So the third time that we did, or the second time, let's see, second time we toured, we recorded a couple songs, and the third time we finished, we just got a few days and went in the studio and finished a record. We took our inspiration from the music of Bob Dylan and the writing of Søren Kierkegaard, and we sort of we worked with those ideas and with that palette in order to create this Danish-American collaboration and maybe find the things that were endemic to those two places.
It sounds like you find it really quite easy to adapt to these experiences. Is it the fact that, you know, that there is the interesting challenge? You know, you meet this guy from Denmark at a conference. He's looking for songwriters. You are a songwriter. But it also produces that interesting dynamic. Is that really what attracts you when you get into a collaboration like this? You mentioned Diana Jones earlier, and wonderful singer in her own right. You've recorded an album with her, but I'm just curious as to, from your point of view as a creative person, you know, how it feels when you get into these situations where you meet this person and said, you know, hey, this sounds like somebody would be interesting to work with. And then suddenly you find it opens up this door into this, not just the touring experience, but also an album as well.
Yeah, the process for me is to keep changing my process. That's what keeps me inspired. Working with other people is a great way to do that. The Sentimentals have certain sounds. Any group of players has a certain sound. And then working with that sound and hearing the sounds that they make can inspire a new set of songs to fit in that sound. It's like writing the way people wrote for Motown Records. They would do most of the music before they even talked about the words. There's a certain sound in those. I treat each collaboration kind of like that, where there's a sound that we make together, and I can write songs toward that.
So tell us a little bit about the Pickup Cowboys. We're going to play the song Pickup Cowboy that features them in a few seconds. Tell us how you got together with those guys.
Well, the Pickup Cowboys are Johnny Wakin and Paul Ford. Those two guys are local guys here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. They play with for 7 years in a row, they played with a puppet show in town in the summer. Enormous puppets, 20-foot tall puppets, huge cranes and sun faces and all this amazing stuff. And they played in the pit band with a drummer who was also in my band. And the drummer died very young, terrible, very tragic, died in sleep. And but it brought us together. We had played together, each with this drummer, and he talked about both things as being the favorite musical experiences that he did in his life. So that brought us together. Paul Ford is a bass player. He's playing 20 years ago on the Jersey Shore. Moved down here, started a business. Never stopped playing the bass. Incredible bass player. Picked up the cello when the drummer died. And it was so great. I said, just forget about the bass. Just play the cello. And he's become such an incredible player. So versatile. He can make it sound like a bass. He can play it like James Jamerson. He can use the bow and bring this orchestral element. And Johnny Wakin plays, you heard him on Do You Dream. You heard him probably of crazy theremin kind of sounding thing. That's actually a handsaw. He's playing a 36-inch crosscut saw by holding the handle between his knees and holding the blade in his hand. And he bows the edge of the blade and bends the blade in an S-curve and plays melodies on the saw. He only does that on a couple things during the show, and then he's an incredible electric slide player. Really beautiful tone, and then mandolin and also harmonica, and he sings harmonies. He's really phenomenal. So those two guys are the Pickup Cowboys, and they have their own website now. They've picked up so many fans just being my band.
But it's incredible. I have to say, I think it's just wonderful that you have all of these different creative collaborations. I also love the fact that, you know, touring. Does it ever get old for you? You mentioned, I think, at the end of a show that sometimes you've given so much to the show itself and out there to the audience that, you know, you can feel pretty exhausted. What about the actual touring experience itself? Do you ever get tired with that? I mean, you're on tour so much, I sense you don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just like any kind of work you do. Some days you don't want to go to work. but it's good work. If you do something you love to do, then of course, it's rewarding at some point in the day. For me, that's always when I get off stage and go to the merch table and meet fans. I love it. It's great. The next day, finding breakfast, driving to the gig, whatever, all those logistical things. I think that's the work. That's what I'm getting paid for. When I get on stage, I do it because I love it.
Well, we certainly comes through whenever anybody hears you live. We're going to listen to Jonathan Bird live just now, with a live version of Pickup Cowboy. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm John Hall.
Matt, we got our name, the Pickup Cowboys, from Matt, because this is a song that I wrote for him. And Matt drives a 1964 International Travelall 3/4-ton pickup.
Yeah.
Primer gray. He's a pickup cowboy, crying up I-35. He went and got his heart broke down in South Padre Island. Now he's driving to Sioux Falls with two bald tires. He's a pickup cowboy. He's a lowly roller. Don't need much money, living on buffalo jerky and Tupelo honey and fishing for breakfast in the muddy Missouri. He's a pickup cowboy. Good dogs get better till they die. Till they die. Indian summer back in South Dakota, sleeping in his teepee, and living like a Lakota with his long blonde hair, his long blue yodel. He's a pickup cowboy. Yodel, yeah, yeah.
That was Jonathan Bird with a live version of the song Pickup Cowboy. Remember, he will be in Guelph on Friday, March the 20th for a show with the Pickup Cowboys. Check out folkrootsradio.com or our Facebook page for all the details. I want to ask you about the future, Jonathan. You're involved in so much. Listen to your music. I like the way you write. What does the future hold?
Well, I'm working on a novel. And I hesitate to even say it because it's a bit like archaeology. I don't even quite know what I'm going to find. But I've been encouraged, and I have a publisher, so I'm looking forward to having written it.
Well, I mentioned earlier, I think you write really easily. I'm certainly looking forward to that. Any indication of when you'll be publishing the novel? I don't want to rush you or anything.
Absolutely,
but it's always good to know.
I have no idea. It could be 10 years from now. No idea. But I've made a commitment to it. I'm not writing songs right now until I finish the book. I have to finish the book before I can allow myself any other intentional creative project. I accidentally wrote a couple songs while I was doing this book, but I'm not intentionally trying to do it.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to you coming to Guelph. Now, you will be coming to Guelph with Atlanta singer-songwriter Elliot Bronson. I wanted to give you a chance just to talk about Elliot coming up here.
Yeah, Elliot's great. He's from Atlanta. He has a beautiful, very natural style. In fact, his writing process is... He doesn't write anything down. He doesn't have a computer or a notebook. He just sits with himself and the guitar and plays and sings. He gets the first line of the song, and then he sings that for a while until he gets the second line, and he sings that for a while until he gets the third line. If he doesn't remember it, he just feels like it must not have been very good if I didn't remember it. So once he gets the song where he can remember the whole song, then it's done. It's such a cool process, and it ends up with this very natural sort of storytelling. Like you're just hanging out with your friend, and he's telling you something that happened. It's a very natural conversational feeling.
Well, certainly his album, the Elliot Bronson album that came out in 2014, is incredibly strong. It's a great album. I'm very much looking forward to welcoming him to Guelph with you. It's going to be a fabulous show, a fabulous tour. And again, if you want to check out Jonathan Bird and get a real feel for the live experience, just head to his Bandcamp page and check out some of the wonderful live albums that he has available there. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today, Jonathan.
Thank you, Dan.
What I'd like to do to finish up is play the title track from your last album. That's You Can't Outrun the Radio. Obviously, being in radio myself, it's always fun whenever I get to play this song. But tell us a little bit about it, and then I'm going to ask you to introduce it.
Tell you a little bit about it. I think it's a song about missing home, and maybe I was thinking about how often do you get to come home in this life? How much time do you get to spend together? And that's mostly what it's about. The title is You Can't Outrun the Radio, which is a thing we used to say in the South. It's sort of police humor, as far as like you can't out. There's a certain authority that you can't outrun, no matter how fast your car is. And the title comes from that.
We're going to listen to a live version of that song just now. It's been a great pleasure to talk to you today, Jonathan.
Thank you, Dan.
Remember, check out jonathanbird.com and also Facebook. Jonathan's pretty active on Facebook, so certainly check him out there as well. We'll look forward to seeing you in Guelph on Friday, March the 20th. We'll leave you with Jonathan Bird and a live version of You Can't Outrun the Radio. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
This is a sing-along. Oh, it's good for you. Sunflowers, for all their graces, they turn their faces to the sun. The sun, you can't outrun the radio. No, you can't outrun the radio. Wherever you go, you can't. Tell me to move to Austin or maybe Nashville in Tennessee. If I can get back to North Carolina, I'll let the music come to me. See, you can't outrun the radio. That's how it goes. You can't outrun the radio. Wherever you go, you can't outrun. Now, there was a man named Dale Earnhardt. He was a NASCAR driver. I don't have to explain this in the United States, but here I have to explain this. Dale Earnhardt, he was very famous. He had a big number 3 on his car. He was very successful. He had 7 championships to his name. And Dale Earnhardt was racing in the Daytona 500, and he died in the very last lap. And there was no way that he could win. He was trying to let a friend of his pass him so he could win the race. And he flipped his car and broke his neck, and he died. And ever since then, there's been a big number 3 on the back of almost every pickup truck in America. And this year, his son won the Daytona 500. And his son is a pretty good race car driver, but he's not as good as his dad, and everybody was surprised. It's a miracle. Anyway, this verse is about Dale Earnhardt. Even Dale Earnhardt, he was hell on the speedway, and he was a champion 7 times. He thought he'd make it 1 more 500. They went 499. When it's time, you can't outrun the radio. No, you can't outrun the radio. You could sing that with us. This hotel, and it's all uphill to fall asleep. I check the FM on the alarm clock and pray the Lord this lap to keep. The people, you can't outrun the radio. Can I run the radio wherever you go? you know that vibration is all there is in the whole universe? Every molecule in your body, every particle of dust out there on the sidewalk, it's all rotating and radiating, vibrating, gyrating, certain frequencies and vibrations. We love those things. Humans, I mean, we're made for it. In fact, when you hear, your brain is counting 500 times per second and delivering that note to you. And if it was 501 times per second, your brain would say, hey man, there's another vibration in here. And your brain can count 5,000, 10,000, up to 20,000 times per second with the help of your ears, even before you've had your coffee. Frequency is so important to us. That's why we're here tonight. We're here for a very small set of frequencies that we call sound. Another small set of frequencies that we call light. They're just two different speeds of the same thing. Just like every frequency on the radio dial and every string on this guitar is a different speed of the same thing. Just like the pistons pumping and all the big trucks across this country is a different speed of the same thing. Just like our hearts beating inside us, it's a different speed of the same thing. And frequency is so important to us. And maybe the one thing we all agree upon the world over is whether I am out of tune or in tune. Some days you feel like you don't have any power. Maybe you love somebody you can't have. Maybe you envy the rich. Maybe you got a speeding ticket. You feel like you don't have any power, but it's not true. You have all the power. One of the most powerful things that you can do is to sing, to make your own vibration, to send your own big ripple out there into the universe. And it changes things. When you sing by yourself, in the shower, in your car on the way to work, people looking at you, let them look. When you sing with 70 other people, the Blue Room Sessions, Ricotta Fabrique, Den Bosch in the Netherlands. Maybe you go to church and you sing with a couple of hundred people. Maybe you go to some folk festival and you sing with thousands of people. When you sing, wherever you sing, you are harnessing the most fundamental force of the universe. And I believe that. And with all that in mind, I would like for us to sing this chorus one more time. And maybe sometime in your life, somebody told you you couldn't sing. They told you you had a bad voice. And they were full of shit. I'm here tonight to tell you that. We're all here to support you in your new singing habit. No, you can't outrun. Sentimentals.
Jonathan Bird.
Thanks so much.